For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Catherine Drew. US President Donald Trump is signing an executive order that abandons a range of climate change regulations put in place under his predecessor, Barack Obama. Mr. Trump says the move will boost domestic energy production, but environmental groups have already said they'll challenge it in court. FSN's US correspondent Lorna Shattuck reports.
The executive action, which the Trump administration's calling the Energy Independence Order, will undo President Obama's Clean Power Plan. That required states to cut carbon emissions from power plants, a key element in helping the U.S. meet its commitments under the Paris Agreement, signed in December 2015. The new move will also get rid of a ban on coal leasing on federal land, reverse rules to cut down methane emissions from oil and gas production, and reduce the amount that federal agencies have to consider climate change when assessing new regulations. But activists from groups including Earth Justice and NextGen want to challenge the new order in the courts, saying it ignores law and scientific reality and endangers Americans' health.
Tens of thousands of homes remain without power after a powerful cyclone made landfall in Queensland, Northern Australia. The storm is moving inland as authorities initiate a disaster response plan. From Melbourne, FSN's Arthur Stevens has more.
The damaging 260-kilometre-an-hour winds shook the coastline, downing trees and stripping buildings as it made landfall as a Category 4 storm before being downgraded to a Category 3 cyclone just after 3 on Tuesday afternoon. It had wreaked havoc with a man badly injured when a wall collapsed on him in Proserpine. Debbie made landfall just north of Early Beach around midday on Tuesday, and forecasters predict it will move gradually inland. The state's Premier and Police Commissioner both issued grave warnings to residents, even saying there could be deaths. The Insurance Council of Australia has declared the storm a catastrophe, with thousands of claims expected in coming weeks. Debbie has been bearing down on the coast since early Tuesday morning and had sustained winds near the centre of 175 kilometres an hour, with wind gusts to 250 kilometres an hour. The slow-moving nature of the storm means recovery efforts won't start in earnest until Wednesday morning.
Amnesty International says the US-led coalition fighting the so-called Islamic State in Iraq are not taking enough precautions to stop civilian casualties in the battle for Mosul. The human rights group said it had found evidence that airstrikes in the city were routinely destroying houses with large family groups inside. Hundreds of civilians are reported to have died in airstrikes this month as the battle for the Iraqi city intensifies. At least 140 people have been killed following an outbreak of meningitis in several states in Nigeria. It's feared the disease could spread rapidly through refugee camps and prisons. The health ministry says the outbreak appears to be a new strain of the disease, which causes inflammation to the outer layers of the brain and spinal cord. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine Drew. Welcome to the programme. To you, it's Tuesday. I think it is Tuesday. Should have been with you yesterday, but circumstances put paid to that. It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Lots going on in the world. I want to hear from you, as always, on Twitter. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Tell me what you're thinking about the big stories covered on this programme this Tuesday. And thanks indeed for tuning in. Let's get it on.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, Dana Durnford has been a commercial fisherman and a commercial diver for more years than you and I have had hot dinners. You can read him at thenuclearproctologist.org. He's been trying to raise the alarm for a number of years about the health or lack of health of the Pacific Ocean. And amongst the things Dana believes, he believes that many of the super storms we've gotten used to in the last 3 or 4 years, many of them are because of the death of the Pacific Ocean and the radiation in it. Now, he'll join me this hour, Dana Durnford. And coming up in the second hour, Gerardo Colmón will join me, Irish journalist based in Paris, geopolitical analyst. Top man is Gerardo. He was on the programme last week, but he was on his own at home, and he's got a very young boy in the house, and the boy required some attention, and he had to ring off or cry off after only a few minutes. So Gerard is back on the programme in the second hour. And amongst the things we'll be talking about today, we'll be looking ahead to the forthcoming French presidential election. I hope you've had a good old weekend. It's been beautiful. We've had three beautiful, even four beautiful days here in Manchester. My absence yesterday had nothing to do with the weather. Late yesterday afternoon, as I was putting the finishing touches to Monday's programme, an SOS was sent in my direction from somebody whom, well, just needed a bit of help. I had to leave suddenly and I couldn't get back in time. And the rest is history. I'm here today. Right, now, I'm going to talk for the next few minutes about the Facebook post that I put on our Facebook page today. I'm banned from Facebook, but I use a dummy account to update the Richie Allen Facebook page. Now, earlier today, not long after, in fact, I'd gotten up and I rise very early, I was informed that our YouTube videos are no longer showing any advertisements. And I thought something was up because over the last couple of days, the revenue had gone down to basically zero. And I thought it was a mistake. These things are monitored by algorithms and computers, and sometimes they skew the data and they rectify it themselves. It's all automatic. But I was told to look a bit closer. And every video that has ever gone up, we've got over, I think, 900, maybe nearly 1,000 videos on YouTube now since we launched the channel. And advertising has been removed from all of them. At least if you watch those videos, ads don't appear. But YouTube haven't officially demonetized them. So it's all, as I said today, kind of rather bizarre. Now, this is on foot of news that we've been watching, observing over the last couple of weeks, where major companies have criticized, allegedly, Google, which owns YouTube, for the fact that their ads, their advertisements appear on videos that they allege are extremist in nature, extremist content. So big companies, there was a few of them here in the UK, Marks and Spencer's being one, there's many, many of them, saying, listen, we don't want our ads appearing alongside people promoting jihad, people, you know, espousing racist beliefs and stuff like that. And many companies decided to pull their revenue, not pull their revenue, but pull their business from Google. Google runs AdSense. How do I describe what AdSense is? Well, AdSense is the monetization through Google of your YouTube videos or even your website. If you have a website, you can monetize it with AdSense, or at least you could have done. Now, we're trying to get answers from Google. Simon, who manages the YouTube channel, has been in touch with them today. There is no live chat facility. You have to email them and wait to get a response from them. But I'm not optimistic about the response that we're going to get. YouTube or Google, and they are one and the same, you've got to remember that, they put out a statement about a week ago on this, which was in direct response to those advertisers who had told them that they didn't want to be associated with them anymore. So a guy called Philip Schindler, who's the chief business officer for Google / YouTube, he put out a statement which isn't very long, but some very interesting things in it. He says in the statement, recently, we've had a number of cases where brands' ads appeared on content that wasn't aligned with their values. For this, we deeply apologise. We know that this is unacceptable to the advertisers and agencies who put their trust in us. That's why we've been conducting an extensive review of our advertising policies and tools. And it's why we made a public commitment to put in place changes that would give brands more control over where their ads appear. We've already begun ramping up changes around three areas. Our ad policies, are enforcement of these policies and new controls for advertisers. He goes on to say that Google understands advertisers do not want their ads next to content that doesn't align with their values. So we've begun taking a tougher stance on hateful, offensive and derogatory content. This includes removing ads more effectively from content that is attacking or harassing people based on their race, religion, gender or similar categories. Now, I don't understand what similar categories means. But attacking or harassing people based on race, religion, gender or similar categories. This change will enable us to take action where appropriate on a larger set of ads and sites. We'll tighten safeguards to ensure that ads show up only against legitimate creators in our YouTube partner program, he says. Now we, the Richie Allen Show, is part of this YouTube partner program. This is about preventing people, impersonating people and mirroring channels and all of that. We won't stop at taking down ads. The YouTube team is taking a hard look at our existing community guidelines to determine what content is allowed on the platform, not just what content can be monetized. To determine what content is allowed on the platform, not just what content can be monetized. Right. When I get a moment, I will share that article, that statement even, on Twitter. So what does it all mean, really? Well, it means that this program, along with a lot of other content creators, and not just content creators in the field of alternative news, alternative media, but content creators making YouTube videos about anything, about cars, about music, about DIY, about anything you can think of, have noticed in the last 2 days that their videos are no longer showing advertisements. Therefore, those videos are not generating any revenue. Now, as I said, traditionally, in the past, YouTube have demonetized videos that we've put up, and we've gotten used to it, because they don't demonetize everything, and they don't demonetize most things. But like, for example, on Thursday last, we put some interviews up about London. Michael Shrimpton was on, and Jim Fetzer was on, and Gerardo Colmon was on. And we knew that because those interviews were talking about London, I knew, that YouTube would demonetize those videos. Fair enough. That's the way it's been, at least since we've been putting videos on since the winter of 2014. That's when we first started putting videos up. But now, what they've done in the last couple of days is they've removed advertisements from every single one of our videos, but they've not demonetized them. The revenue has fallen to nothing, and there's been no word from Google. So that can be one of two things. And sadly, I think it's the most pessimistic thing. It could be that while Google are frantically running around their offices, screaming at one another and pulling their hair out as advertisers are screaming at them and telling them this is why we don't want to spend money with Google. It could be that what we've seen in the last couple of days is basically a demonetization shotgun type thing where they've just gone for everything. That's what it might be, but I don't think it is. I think over the last few days, since last Monday, which would be the 21st of March, I think from Monday onwards, they've begun to look at content creators, I think specifically, even though people are telling us they have car sites, they have DIY sites, they have gaming sites and all of that, I think they've gone and they've looked at a variety of independent media programs who put their content on YouTube, and I think they've just demonetized across the board. So that's disastrous for the independent media. And this is not about me. One of the things that we don't do, and we've never done here, is try to insert ourselves into the narrative, to become the story. We leave that to InfoWars and the other garbage that's out there constantly talking about themselves and how they're under attack and how they're central to the story. We are not central to the story. The Richie Allen Show started as a result of a request from David Icke, who said, do a program and interview men and women who are researching information and providing solutions and answers, but mostly questions to the mainstream narrative. Interview those men and women. Do it professionally. Give them a chance to have their say. We're not part of the story. In the great scheme of things, I'm not important at all. The people who come on the programme and the things they have to say, that's what's important, right? So we're not inserting ourselves into the narrative. But this will have a seriously detrimental effect on our ability to do what we do, because more than 90% of the revenue we generate comes from YouTube monetization. We have people who donate through PayPal regularly, but not enough. We've never had enough. That's why from time to time I've said, look, this YouTube thing, it's not going to be there forever. The very nature of the fact that we've all been corralled into this video sharing monopoly site YouTube is a dangerous thing, because if YouTube decides at any time to cut you off, to demonetize you, to disable you, you're up shit creek without a paddle, because probably 99,999 people out of 100,000 get their videos from YouTube, not Dailymotion, not VidMe or any of these other platforms. So I've been saying this for a long time. Now, that's not to denigrate or to sound like I'm unappreciative of the people who do donate. We have people who have been donating to us on a monthly basis since we began. Others donate every 2 or 3 months when they can. Some people donate £2 or £3 a month. Some people donate £20 a month. Some people donate more. But on its own, it's never covered the costs of putting on this programme. Because when we add it up, we've got around about 100 regular donors out of an audience which exceeds, the live audience is over 40,000 listeners. We have nearly 60,000 YouTube subscribers. And the podcast is the most popular podcast in the world in news and current affairs on podomatic.com. Donations were never, ever going to secure the future of the programme. But we were able to meet our costs and pay me a modest salary with the monetization through YouTube. But it looks now like that's gone. And if it is the case, and Simon is working on trying to get in touch with Google to find out what's going on, because none of our videos in any way harass, harangue, threaten or injure anybody of any race or creed or ethnic group or sexual orientation. None of our videos, none of our content does that. None of it. None of our content is fake. Our researchers and our interviewees, CIA, ex-CIA men, bankers, financiers, we get everybody on. And none of what is broadcast on our channel could be construed as harmful to anybody. So we'll wait and see what YouTube say when they come back. If they come back to us, I should keep saying Google. We'll have to wait and see. If they don't, and I suspect that in terms of monetizing through YouTube, I suspect this is the end. We will work through the month of April, because Google works in arrears. So we would get paid from Google in April, but that would be the end of it effectively. After that, there wouldn't be a program going forward because we couldn't cover the cost of it. So we'll just have to wait and see, really. Now, I know many of you have sent emails today and you've sent Facebook messages with solutions or with ideas, and those are gratefully received. But I don't want to sound like an arsehole. But we know what we're doing here. We've been making digital media independently for several years, not just here but elsewhere. And we know what works and we know what doesn't work. And the YouTube thing is massive because, as I said, the vast majority of people get their information from YouTube. And nothing is going to change that. This is the consequence of allowing Facebook take over the internet and YouTube develop a monopoly of video sharing websites. It's the way it is. Very many learned men and women warned about this. I remember several years ago, before I got to know Hayden Hewitt, who runs LiveLeak.com, one of the internet's biggest websites. I remember Hayden doing television shows and radio shows here, warning people about the looming hegemony of these sites, Facebook and YouTube. And this is the result of it. You know, they're not after us. I want to reiterate that. This is not about me, poor me. It isn't. It's not about us specifically. It's about alternative points of view. And talking about fake news and talking about advertisers. I mean, one of the things I was contemplating today, these advertisers have known for years that their ads show up on videos made by content creators like us and others. And they've never given a damn. Because they don't have any values. Marks and Spencer's doesn't have any values no more than ExxonMobil does. The only value they have, or the only thing they value, is their bottom line. And they couldn't give a damn what's on. Of course, I'm not talking about beheading videos and videos about ISIS and stuff. I'm not talking about that. That's completely separate. But whether it's David Icke videos or the Richie Allen Show videos or Michael Rivero or Jim Mars, they've never given a damn so long as the numbers were there. So what's happening now? What's happening now? Well, I think what's happening now is they've had a massive wake-up call. They've seen that more and more people are turning away from their cable news channels, from their newspapers, and those people are getting their information from different sources, from independent sources, of which there are tens of thousands. And they're equating this with the with things like the vote to leave the European Union, with the misguided, it must be said, misguided, but still nonetheless powerful movement to vote for Donald Trump because of who Hillary Clinton was. And they've looked at it and they have decided that the independent media, some sections of it, because much of the independent media is actually serving the system, but that some sections of it are causing them chaos, are causing chaos for the establishment. And that's where we are with what's happening with YouTube. Dozens and dozens of other creators today, some of them truly independent, some of them very, very good, are reporting the same thing, that they have earned zero revenue over the last few days from YouTube and all the ads have disappeared from their videos. So it isn't me, and I want to reiterate this, this is not me crying about me and my show, we're just one show. So that's where we are, really. I didn't prepare anything, I didn't write any notes, this is all straight from the top of my head. We're just going to have to wait and see. Again, to those of you sending in information to me, for those of you sending in suggestions and stuff like that, I really, really do appreciate it. But this is a serious blow. Again, because of the hegemony, because of the dominance of YouTube, if this is permanent, it's a very serious blow for us. So look, that's all I'm going to say about that. We're expecting Dana Durnford to join us. He should join us any minute. And we'll chat with him about Fukushima and the fallout from that. In the meantime, going to take some music. Keep your tweets and emails coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Welcome to the programme. Good to be with you. Yeah. went to see them this time last year at the Manchester Arena. We were treated by the great Jim Corr, old friend of mine. Amazing band, live, the Corrs. Sensational stuff. So Young on the Richie Allen Show for Monday, March 28th, 2017. We might have a wee problem with Dana, and if we do, it's entirely my fault. Our clocks went forward over the weekend, of course, and when Dana was due to be on last week, the clocks in North America had gone forward, but ours hadn't. And I think we agreed for Dana to come on at the same time, which might be a problem for us. Yeah. We'll wait and see, does he pick up? We've got a contingency plan anyway. It's been that sort today. I meant to contact him earlier on to let him know that our clocks had gone forward and that we're now 8 hours ahead of British Columbia time, which is where he's based, and not the 7 hours behind that or ahead of that we were last week. So these are the slings and arrows of making programs like this. Huge amount of tweets came in on this. Thank you so much to you for your tweets. I really appreciate that. And all the nice words and kind words. Look, I think, not to labour the point, I don't want to labour the point. I think what we've seen since Donald Trump came on the scene, we've really seen a kind of a separation of the wheat from the chaff, as it were, in the so-called independent media. And we've... It's been pretty blatant, hasn't it? And somebody was saying to me today on Twitter, somebody PM'd me on Twitter and said, well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who exactly is targeted like this, who exactly is demonetizing, who isn't. But as far as I can tell, it's pretty much everybody. I believe Paul Joseph Watson from InfoWars made a video in the last 2 or 3 days about this. They noticed the same thing, and they were complaining about it, fair enough. So I don't think you're going to be seeing, you know, a separation in terms of you're going to see truly independent content creators truly challenging the system being targeted this way, and the mainstream light, even mainstream, let's be honest about it, InfoWars and that, not being targeted. I think they're going to go after everybody because they can't be seen to be going after a section of or a corner of the independent media, if that makes any sense. So, I don't know. I'll read a few tweets while we're here. 28 minutes to the top of the hour. We will definitely have Garrodo come on in the second hour. Hi to Mark, who is talking about annual general meetings if the Richie Allen Show goes under. Look, we're not going under in the very short term. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. Sue tweets, Richie, just catching up on the news. We can't allow this to happen. But, you know, it's about much more than people funding shows like this. It's about much more than that. You know, because shows like us, we can't depend on hanging on every month to see, do we have enough donations? Have we enough to cover our overheads, which are extensive? They are extensive, our overheads, and to pay me a small salary. I work 18 hours a day on this from 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. at night. And I do that about 6 days a week. It is a full-time job to produce 5 radio shows a week on your own, with no help. We're not talking about Simon, who's outstanding, who looks after the YouTube, amazing guy, and Aaron. The sourcing of content, the editing of it, the research, and the gathering of guests is an enormous job for one guy. And there is only one guy. So in order to cover the overheads, pay me a modest salary, because it's only modest. I couldn't depend month on month living with the stress of hoping that the thousands who download the podcast and the thousands who listen live, that they make enough of a contribution to cover. It can't work like that. I've never existed in a situation like that, and I'm never going to. Not going to live like that. I've said this before. People have said before, Rich, don't worry about YouTube and, you know, work harder, mention the donations more, and eventually, you know, you'll get that money coming in every month. It's never going to happen, because the vast majority of people, when given something for free, will take it for free. Even if the content creator is saying, well, look, this does cost money, we need some help with it. The vast majority, it's the same with Jesus, in radio we talk about active listeners. An active listener is the minority listener. The active listener is the listener who will phone you up, who will get involved, who will take part in a competition. It's the same with donations. Those who will contribute are in the tiny, tiny minority of your overall listenership. That's why bringing in advertising, which has proven extremely difficult despite our success, and monetizing other ways is very, very difficult. So I'm not going to depend on funding from the audience. It's not going to happen. If we can't secure the sponsorship of the program to cover the cost of it entirely, I'd rather be doing something else. That's just the way it is. It's always been like that with me. So there you are. So we're waiting for Dana. We might have to reschedule Dana. I think I might have screwed that one up royally. You're with the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and Alternate Current Radio. I will take a quick break. Back in a minute with much more. Back in a minute.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of Mortgages for You North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back to the programme. It's exactly 21 minutes to the top of the hour. You're with the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting on davidicke.com. Fab Radio 2, an alternate current radio. David is in Croatia. He's just landed there. In fact, I think he put a picture of him in Zagreb at the airport there. And shortly after he arrived, he was doing an interview with a national newspaper there as well, ahead of his talk there at the weekend. The Worldwide Wake Up Tour continues through 2017 to find out more about it and to find out where David is going to be and ticketing information and all of that. Quite simply, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. There you are. Wonderful stuff. Now, tomorrow, dear listener on the programme, I'm bringing you an exclusive tomorrow. Bringing you an exclusive. And as I'm talking to you, because I'm a bit rattled today and I'm sure you can hear it. And I've repeated myself probably 15 times in the first half an hour. And I'm probably going around in circles, but I didn't write anything down. I don't write things down generally, but I do make bullet points. I didn't make bullet points either. It's been a rattling type of day. I've been rattled. So anyway, Alison Chablot will be on the programme tomorrow. Now, she was prosecuted, was Alison. The first prosecution by the charity Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. They didn't like the fact that a song, because Alison is a poet and a singer-songwriter, she's a very funny woman, and she was accused last year of posting an offensive video on, well, YouTube, no less. Now, Campaign Against Anti-Semitism is a Jewish charity. They were set up to bring about private prosecutions against people whom they deem as being anti-Semitic or whom they deem as hating Jews, right? Now, we've had a lot to say about the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. This is the group who harassed the Apollo in Manchester and threatened the Apollo the week before David appeared here in January. Threatened them, contacted Manchester City Council, threatened them, made all sorts of accusations against David that they failed to back up. They said David was a Holocaust denier. He isn't. Not now, nor was he ever. Neither am I. I'm not comparing myself to David, obviously. I'm obviously not, but I'm making the point. I never have either. In fact, I made a video, didn't I, a few weeks back, about what happened in Nazi Germany and about the targeting and the persecution of Jews there and everybody else who was targeted by the Nazis. And I was abused, as I expected, for talking about that. Anyway, it doesn't matter whether I was abused or not. So Alison, these people complained, Alison, to the Director of Public Prosecutions and tried to have her charged. But the DPP didn't want to know anything about it. So they've taken this private prosecution against her. And it's gone on and on and on and on. She was due to be in court on Friday last. It was adjourned. Now, she's made a couple of videos. One about Anne Frank. And it's a song about Anne Frank and Alison's questioning of the Anne Frank story. But she's also made videos talking about the Holocaust and asking one or two questions about it and stuff like that. So they've gone after her. She's going to speak with us on the programme tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. That's Alison Chablot. You can follow that case by going to Alison's WordPress site, which is, if you bear with me there, alisonchablot.wordpress.com. That's Alison Chablot. That's Chabloz. alisonchablot.wordpress.com. So Alison will be on the programme. And then continuing in the line of inviting learned men and women on the programme who totally disagree with us. Julie Kelly, the cooking expert, the author, and the journalist, very successful journalist in Chicago. Julie promotes genetically modified food. She's a big fan of genetic engineering. And I've invited her on the programme to come and have a chat about Monsanto and biotech companies. And she's agreed to come on. So she's going to come on and we're going to have a grown-up chat about the, let's use the word hegemony again, and how biotech companies are taking over the world's food supply, in my opinion, and why she believes that they are a force for good. So we'll do that on Thursday. See, this is cutting edge radio. This is where you can brag and boast and send yourself flowers and kiss your own arse. This is what the InfoWars and all that toxic garbage are not doing. They are not trying to reach Paddy and Mary and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They are preaching to redneck maniacs and taking their money for their super male vitality pills, while a tiny, tiny section of the independent media is actually trying to reach people who disagree with us, which is what we've been doing for 2.5 years. Is that virtue signalling? I couldn't give a shit if it is or if it isn't. That's the way it is. So Julie Kelly will join the programme and that'll be on Thursday. So it's going to be a good old week then. Garrodo Colmon joins me in the second hour. Dana Durnford should have been here, but it's my fault for not pointing out to him that the clocks went forward. It's been a mad old day. A mad old day. Niall Evans. Niall, welcome to the programme. Really happy you started 7, Rich. And the clock's just turned back now. I can listen to the whole show live in Dubai. Thank you, Niall. Lovely to hear from you, mate. And I hope all is well for you there in Dubai. JP tweets, riots and police vans burning. Not on my TV news again last night. Paris shook again. They're not happy, says JP. I probably need to read that again, JP. Forgive me if I've mischaracterised that. Hi to Dean Smith, to everybody who's tweeting. I think we've had several hundred tweets since coming on. Fluffles as well. Heraclitus, Sniff, Luga, Scott Cornish. How you doing, Scott? The bottom line is everybody needs to put their hands in their pockets to help out. Do you know what it is, Scott? Those who listen regularly and who can afford to pay for it should do. This has always bitten me on the arse, this. You know, I don't listen to independent content that requires some form of financial assistance without assisting it. I wouldn't do it. I'd be a hypocrite. Now, a lot of people listen to this programme because they're on their arse. And they found the independent media because they're not getting the answers in commercial media. And they don't have any money, and I don't expect them to donate at all. I've never, ever said anything other than, if you can't afford to throw a couple of quid a month to a programme like this, well, don't listen to the donation appeals. Go and make a cup of tea. You know, nobody's going to criticise anybody who doesn't have it. But if you listen to any independent media show, no matter who it is, and you like it, and you listen regularly, and you are comfortable, and you ignore them when they say you need the support to keep it going, you're a bastard. It's as simple as that. You are a lazy, spongy bastard. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about everybody. Don't take independent content and delete it. Not delete it, what's wrong with me? And use it. Without paying for it. Don't do that. Okay, don't do that. Joanne tweets, Joanne Clayton, so much for freedom of speech, Richie. Censorship is disgraceful. It's disgraceful action from these big companies. That's Joanne. Joanne, lovely to hear from you, by the way. John Senior tweets, why don't you sell super male vitality like Alex Jones? John, a number of companies have contacted this programme in 2 years. And a number of them have asked, could they place their products on our podcasts and on our website? And if we did, we would get a guaranteed dividend, a guaranteed lump sum plus a percentage of commission. And each time we said no, because the products are garbage. Those products were garbage. I'm not going to tell you what they were. You know, there are people who can sell their soul and it comes as easy to them as taking a breath and promote garbage that they don't take and that they don't believe in. Anything for money. These are whores, John. And we're not. Never endorsed anything. This program has never endorsed anything except to recommend films like The Wonderful Traffic 2 from Emma Ibbitson. Except to recommend that people go to liveleak.com to see the truth about what's going on in Syria, in Iraq and elsewhere. And one or two others. But we have never, ever urged you to buy anything for your health or for your well-being. And we never, ever will. Never. Of course we've been offered money. With our audience and the size of our audience now and how global it is. Of course we've been offered money. Have this, Richie. Promoted and we'll give you £300, £400, £500 a month. No. You're finished. The minute you do that, you are finished. Super male vitality pills. Alex Jones is a scumbag. Simple as that. That's not very professional, Richie. It's not very big of you, but it's a fact. I will say anything that supports my bottom line. I will recommend anything. I will swear to you that I take products that I've never even looked twice at, so long as it improves or increases my bottom line. That's the way it is. You're ranting now, Richie, and you sound like you're on a soapbox. It's time to shut up and get on with the show. What is it? 11 minutes to the top of the hour. Some more music, I think. Got some more music for you. It's the Stone Roses. Here's the Stone Roses, song called Waterfall on Your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Gerardo Colman joins me in the second hour, hopefully. It's been one of those days, eh?
Now you're at the wheel.
Rose's Waterfall, 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Hayden Hewitt is on the line. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm not so bad, Richie. How are you, mate?
Not too shabby. Thanks for jumping in there. I know you put the you put Junior to bed. We've got about 10 minutes. Then we can we can ask Garrow to hang off. What's now? First of all, LiveLeak is one of the most successful websites on planet Earth. Hayden is a bit of a genius when it comes to online marketing and operating online. But in layman's terms, mate, and I'm not saying that to make you laugh, because you do speak in internet genius type speak. In layman's terms, what's going on?
Okay, if we set aside all the more sinister ideas that are floating around, I'm going to put it into a perspective that I've encountered. For 10 years, we fought tooth and nail to monetize LiveLeak. Advertisers are terrified of the content, the comments, everything. It's been an uphill struggle, and all along people have told us, oh, you should be making millions, unaware. It's incredibly difficult to do that. What we're seeing now are corporate interests saying, we want safe. We want safe, and Google don't want to lose $750 million a year, because that's quite a lot of money, apparently. So they're going to pull everything. They're going to pull. And if you look at their advertising standards that all YouTube partners agree to, pretty much all of us breach them. If they really enforce them, we pretty much breach them.
Let me argue with that. Let me very briefly argue with that, because this is your 10 minutes. Yes, you're right. When content is violent or graphic, we would expect these companies to say, we don't want to have anything to do with it. But I know you heard my ramble in the first 20 minutes, which didn't really go anywhere. But there was a couple of interesting things in there. They've known for a long time on YouTube that the David Icke's and the Jim Maher's of this world, and to a much lesser extent, guys like me, talk about aliens and Saturn and Mars and talk about false flag. They've known about this for years. Why now?
Well, can I just say that it's not necessarily about violent content. If you read the advertising standards, the standards you have to meet to be a partner, you're not allowed to talk about political conflict. You're not allowed to talk about war. You're not allowed to talk about natural disasters, whether graphic content is included or not. These are not considered by Google to be advertiser-friendly.
No, I get that. Now, when were those guidelines written by Google?
They've been pretty much the same for quite a long time, but roundly ignored.
Right. Why round? And this is what I'm getting at, you see. I do not believe that those responsible for commercial activity for some of the biggest companies in the world did not know that their ads were just showing up anywhere. I cannot believe that. That's why I asked you why now.
I don't believe it either.
Yeah.
I don't believe it for a moment.
Which is why I say why now.
But I think there could be a time of negative press. There could have been a nice little bit of political pressure to some of the... Because we all know there is a boys' network. Regardless of any theories or anything else, there's an old boys' network. All the leaders of the corporations, all the politicians, they all come through the same sort of schools. They all know each other. It's a network. That's one of the reasons you'd send your kid to a posh school. So they've got a great lawyer on speed dial and a friend who's, you know, running a government department. Bit of pressure. Right, we don't want to be against extremist videos. All of a sudden, Google's gone, well, we'll just pull the whole up. I'm assuming, because I still can't quite understand what's going on. I'm still struggling with why some are vanishing, some aren't. When I tried it today with some very popular video licensing company videos like Looper, and ones that just put compilations out and, you know, my favorite Marvel movie type things.
Yeah.
I was seeing no ads in one browser, and I don't use ad blockers. Never have. They'd show up in another browser, but only briefly. And it's just some kind of strangeness. But what's really surprising me is there's not more of an uproar. Because I've made a few calls, and it's a few people have had the same ever since I spoke to you earlier today.
Yeah.
And a few people have noticed the same thing, but we can't figure out why there's not an uproar. I'm being suspicious.
It's happened over the weekend, hasn't it?
I also searched on Bing.
Right.
Because searching on Google for problems with Google might not always be the best way of getting results.
Right.
So we use some other search engines, GoGoDuck and whatever else, and there's just not a lot out there. It's really strange. It's actually genuinely bizarre.
We've had videos demonetized in the past, and I've never complained about it. I might have bitched once or twice, but then I gave up. I understood that the day after... we talked about some explosion somewhere, I knew that those interviews would be demonetized. Last week, Shrimpton, Fetzer, Garrod, those interviews went up and they were demonetized immediately. That was fair enough. They were demonetized and I said, well, this is the way it's been for a couple of years. Job done. Our channel is showing that everything is monetized, that we are in good faith, we are in good standing with the community guidelines, that we are a YouTube partner. And the ads are still showing if we go in and have a look at it, but they're not playing.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's really bizarre, isn't it?
I don't have an explanation. I wish I did, because I've noticed it across a couple of my channels. But I don't know what it is. But, you know, it's like I said to you earlier, I think the problem I've been, as you know, I've been railing for years about centralization and roundly ignored for the most part.
I mentioned you at the beginning, you've been banging on about this for years, even before I knew you. Yeah.
Yes, because it's the lead weight in the middle of the rubber sheet, you know? And everyone put all of their eggs in a corporate basket as if corporate interests are ever going to support alternative anything. When it becomes, because we all know that the future of YouTube is to become a new cable TV station online.
Yeah.
It's how it's going to work. Facebook's pushing for much the same thing. They're focusing on short form content to try and damage YouTube now. They're going to push into longer form content very soon once they get all the ducks in the row. And be under no illusion, Facebook will get all their ducks in a row. And that's the way it's pushing. The big boys are the new cable TV. There's no place for people like us on cable TV, dude. We're not welcome at that party.
What do we do?
I harebrained scheme time. You know, I've got the BBTV project, long-term project. We've put a good amount of cash in and we're not in any rush to do, you know, we're letting it percolate, adding new shows here and there. It's feasible that with the infrastructure that we already have, with a group of people pulling together, there could be an alt.bbtv where it's self-hosted, where everyone can club together, pool resources, there could be salespeople pulling in advertising, and it'll be self-sustaining without worrying about someone pulling the rug out from under your feet. This is feasible. However, people need to be more proactive, because all I can do is help with the infrastructure. All I can do is help put things in place. But at the end of it, it's people sitting there going, oh, this is terrible. You know, not everyone can give money, but, you know, plug the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You know, be a part of it. Be more active. Be involved. Create content. You know, it's not only, yeah, you do masses of research, but there's still room for those guys that just want to have a pop. You know, but if you're just dumping it on YouTube and thinking, well, you know, hey, I'll make $20 a month. Well, you know what? You're just screwing everybody else. If people really want to see it happen, it'll happen. What we know can't work is an online independent TV station, like, you know, TPV or something like that. It's not sustainable. But, you know, there is a different model and it could be done. And it's kind of there. You've been there. You know the infrastructure we've got. We've got hosting. Got streaming, we can stream to every other platform. All it would take is a few like-minded people to come see me, and I'll pitch in. I mean, I'll pitch in as much as humanly possible, but I'm only going to do it, obviously, if we see everyone just, instead of talking, do.
Exactly, yeah.
Just do something. Build a... Sorry.
No, you're right.
I'm getting excited.
But you know what,
Hayden? Build a website, push things, join other people's websites, have forums again where it's insular.
Yeah.
Don't worry about 50 quid off AdSense. Worry about next year getting £250 from an actual advertiser.
Yeah.
And if we hit small companies, they're out there. And if we have contiguous service, you know, a broadcasting schedule, people will advertise, because that's what they're looking for. You've got magnificent numbers, but the one-man show thing can be very, very hard, and you can't put a pro salesperson in just on your own.
No.
They're very expensive. There is a way. It can be done. We've done the impossible before with things like Live Leak. So it can be done. It just takes tremendous will and effort and a lot of people to get off their arses.
Exactly, and a lot of people to stop paying lip service to, oh, I'm coming off Facebook, and then not coming off Facebook.
I mean, how about instead of coming off Facebook, exploit the shit out of it to push
something truly independent.
Well, you said yourself they're going to make it more and more difficult to reach anybody without paying them premium
money.
Well,
it's a business. It's a business. I've said this before. I've told people Facebook would have to operate this way. It's like a dealer. A dealer will give someone free or heavily discounted drugs right up until they really need those drugs. Then it gets expensive. It's a business. They've predicted a good friend of mine. He's quite close to a couple of folks at Facebook. I'm not, as it goes, oddly enough. They've predicted in the next 2 years, every new business will have a Facebook page instead of a website.
Instead of their own website.
They might have a website, but they won't do much with it. They'll do more with the Facebook business page. And Facebook are moving into video. Do you think they're going to fail? I don't. Do you think they're going to have absolute control? Can we call it? I put the Live League show out on Facebook. They don't care. I guarantee they'll care in a year or two.
Of course they will. And if anybody attempts to monetize, they will have to be operating under the same rules as YouTube because they're going to say...
Oh, they are going to monetize. Of course. They are going to.
No, they will, but they'll make it very difficult. So
of
unless,
course. And they're quicker to pull you than YouTube have ever been. I had a broadcast pulled on Facebook for a copyright complaint. I investigated the copyright campaign. It was a cartel video that some Mexican girl who had a few thousand followers of her own happened to post. Facebook assumed it was hers and pulled my live broadcast.
A cartel video?
Cartel video, a shootout. not an execution. It was a quite tame shootout. It was quite exciting, but you didn't see anyone get killed. But the same thing, it just assumed that was hers and pulled my broadcast. So that told me I'll use Facebook while it's there. But it also means that now we're bringing mobile live streaming to Live League in the next week or so. Because I don't trust anybody else very much. And at least I know with Live League, we'll just broadcast to whoever the fuck we can. You know, we don't care. So, look, it's not going to get easier. And if people want an independent media, then you better be prepared to be independent. And if you want to be independent, that means lots, as you know, lots and lots of hard work. Lots of failure, little success, and needing everybody to get on board in every way, shape, or form that's possible in a cohesive fashion. Use the platforms that are out there to publicize the independent aspect of it. Move as much as you can to the independent side with forums and websites and link them together and actually do something as a movement. It doesn't matter whether the next site along thinks you're mental for believing in chemtrails. It doesn't matter because you're part of an independent media. If these people out there just want to listen to people they agree with, then we're screwed. It doesn't matter. It's all going to go away and they can forget about it because it is going to change. The internet's under attack already. Make no bones, they're going to kill net neutrality as soon as they can. As soon as they can, it's just going to get harder and harder and harder. So if people want to have petty squabbles and differences, then go for it and make hay while the sun shines because it ain't going to shine much longer. But if you want to do something, I would suggest... Now is the time to really start thinking about it. I'll put what I've got behind it. I don't have millions, as you know, but I'll put what I've got.
Well, you have a lot, mate. We're going to pick this up again, you and I, in future when we have more time. Folks, Hayden is live every Thursday at 10 p.m. British Summer Time, as it is now, on liveleak.com. Go to liveleak.com. That's the Live League show every Thursday. It's an exceptional show. It's completely unique. There's nothing like it anywhere. And BVTV, beyondvision.tv, you got to check that out because the programming that's coming in the coming weeks and months on that platform is going to be exceptional. It's going to be independent. It's going to be challenging and exciting. And I can't recommend
it. Can I put
a
massive plug in, dude?
Plug the bejesus. Go ahead.
I have got a new show starting within the next few weeks called Trigger Warning. I guarantee, I promise faithfully to those that watch the Lively show, I will be banned on Facebook with this show. I promise you, I will not let you down.
The gloves are off. Well, I'm looking forward to it, mate. Thanks for everything that you've done for us and for this show. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time tonight.
I'm always there, Richie. I'll catch you later, fella.
Legend, buddy. Bye for now. The legend, Hayden Hewitt, one of the co-founders of LiveLeak.com, one of the biggest websites in the world. And I can't recommend it highly enough. If you want to see raw footage out of places like Africa, West Africa, Syria, Sudan, Yemen, Libya, that's the place to go, and much more. Besides, they have fluffy cat videos as well, but there's really important information on liveleak.com. The time, Well, it's time for a break. Let's have a quick break. Garrodo Colman joins me in a couple of minutes.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole-of-market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Right, welcome back to the programme. It's your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio and TuneIn Radio as well. It's exactly 10 minutes past the hour. Going to give our next guest a quick call there and get him on. He's an exceptional journalist, truly exceptional. Blogger, geopolitical analyst and regular guest on a number of terrific radio and television programmes. He's in Paris. Very proud of him being an Irishman, and he was on the programme last week, but he was on his own at home, and he's lovely, baby boy, needed attention, so we had to cut that short, understandably, but fair play to him, he's come back to talk to us today about the forthcoming French presidential election. The election is on April 23rd, so it's not far away, really. The events in London, we might talk about Trump, we might talk about, well, we'll talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Let's welcome back Garrodo Colman. Garrod, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Richie. Great to be back again.
Well, thanks, mate. Thanks for your patience. And thanks for jumping in last week, despite everything that was going on.
It got chaotic.
And it's going to be chaotic for you, isn't it, in the coming weeks. You're going to be in demand because it's fair to say this particular French presidential election, like the US presidential election, like the elections in Holland, it's probably the most interesting for some time. How is it being reported there? Do you sense that it's bigger, that there's much more interest in it than there's been in recent years there?
Oh, certainly. I mean, this is the biggest election probably since the Second World War in France, in the sense that so much kind of hangs on it, so much hinges on it, rather, I should say. I think that this election is going to be different for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons being that since 2012, you've had an explosion of internet media, independent media, and that's having a huge impact, I think, on people's perception and their political attitudes. So that's something that I think we've, you know, something that has changed in the past few years since the election of François Hollande. The fact that the National Front is, ahead in the polls is another major difference to previous elections. So it's a highly controversial election campaign. And basically right now, what you're looking at is official polls giving Marine Le Pen the lead. She's followed by Emmanuel Macron. Macron is very much the candidate of the current system. The banks, the major corporations, the ruling elite are very much behind Macron. The media are very much behind Macron. Then you have François Fillon. Fillon is the Republican candidate. He's trailing behind Macron, but he's been catching up in the last few days. There have been some scandals with him. The scandals have been to do with basically embezzlement of public funds, nepotism, undeclared finances, and so on, to do with his wife and his daughter. Not very big scandals, but the media made a very big deal about it, and he's currently under investigation for corruption. However, there are, I think, some major issues to do with Fillon and his foreign policy that are upsetting many very important people among the ruling elite, namely his desire to have better relations with Russia and his connections to a Lebanese businessman who is said to be close to President Assad of Syria. So these are things, I think, that these are the kind of issues that are playing against Fillon in the media. Then you have Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is the leader of the Front de Gauche, the so-called left-wing opposition party. I've spoken about him before. You know, in 2011, Mélenchon was all for the bombing of Libya, claims to be left-wing and in solidarity with the Third World, yet he has taken no firm position on any major war since then. He's very much towing the establishment line on Syria, but at the same time, you know, claiming that he's against these wars, when in fact part of his program is to continue to support so-called humanitarian wars. Any war that can be given a UN mandate is okay for Mélenchon. In terms of domestic policy, he doesn't have any kind of an alternative. His program has some similarities to the National Front program, because the National Front program really is about social security, maintaining the working week at 35 hours, retirement age at 60, basically what I've referred to here as the social gains of the last century. One of the candidates nobody's talking about is François Asselineau. And he's the leader of the UPR, which is the Union Républicaine Populaire, the Popular Republican Union. And he's really, I think, he's the candidate I would vote for if I were a French citizen. I would be voting for him, because he really is rupture. He follows all of the alternative media. He's very, very well informed, very sincere. Just the last weekend, he invited Vanessa Bealey to the opening of their campaign, and she delivered a speech there. I've met him myself. He's a very sincere man and extremely bright. He has a program that is in many respects similar to the National Front, but much less emphasis on Islam and immigration. In fact, he doesn't talk about it at all. But the thing that kind of makes him a lot different and more important is that rather than actually having a discussion about leaving the European Union, if the French people vote for him, he will leave the European Union immediately. So he is the Frexit candidate. Marine Le Pen wants to renegotiate, either renegotiate the treaties that are already in place with the European Union, or have a referendum on leaving the European Union. But that would take at least 6 months. So that's the basic. There are other candidates. You know, De Pont-Aignan is another candidate who had the merit of being one of the only deputies to oppose the war in Libya. So there, you know, but these candidates, of course, have very little following. I mean, Asselineau, I've just mentioned, has about 1%, but he is very much growing in popularity, and his movement is really grassroots. So he could be a major surprise in this election. But I think that the major candidate is Marine Le Pen, and it seems to me that the establishment want to get Fillon out of the way. They don't trust him because of his foreign policy. He's too close to Putin. Has been a lot more progressive in terms of his Middle East policy. And I think they want him out of the way, and they want Macron. Macron is the guy they're basically propping up to try to defeat Le Pen.
Now, Garaud, is this evident in the way the election has been covered by the French media, in the same way that we would see obvious bias here and in the US and in other countries? Is it obvious if you're watching French cable news, French 6 o'clock, 9 p.m. news bulletins, is it right there that Macron is the favoured candidate? He's the one being pushed.
Oh, very much so. I mean, having said that, you know, I mean, François Asselineau would argue that Marine Le Pen gets a lot more attention than he does. And, that is true. I think that's because Asselineau is closer to grassroots than Marine Le Pen in many respects. Plus, he actually addresses the real problems, the war on terror. There's a lot more, information coming from UPR about these things than the National Front. The National Front has become very much more of a mainstream party since Marine Le Pen took over. And they've also become closer to the nationalist Freemasons. There are two Freemason schools in France that are very, very influential, very powerful. You have the Grand Orient Lodge and the National Lodge. And Marine Le Pen is very close to these guys. It's admitted, I mean, her father has admitted that, you know, in order to basically, you know, be a real candidate for power, she's kind of, you know, more or less kind of gone along with this kind of elitist politics, which of course completely contradicts her claim to be anti-establishment. Because if there's anything that is, you know, establishment, it is these Freemason lodges and so on.
Will that hurt her, Garaud? Will that hurt her on the 23rd? Do you think?
I don't think so. You know, I think that she will definitely. I mean, there's a kind of consensus that she's probably going to win the first round. When it comes to a runoff, most likely against Macron. In the past, people might have in France, people would vote out of protest, and so there would be kind of a protest or a vote of anger, and then things would sort of be straightened out by the second one, and they'd go more for the safe pair of hands, in other words, sort of a conservative choice that would favour the establishment. But I think that this could be different in the sense that a lot of the people who are voting for Le Pen are tuning into alternative media that is favourable to Le Pen more than the so-called mainstream media. So I think that media is a major factor here. Maybe a bit like the United States, where Trump was using so-called alternative media, people like Alex Jones and so on. They were tuning into those kind of networks, and a lot of the people who read those websites voted Trump. So I think that you have a similar phenomenon here in France right now, and that could be the major difference. you know, social media, for example, Twitter. I mean, you know, people are using these tools now a lot more than in the past. And I think that Macron is, everybody's kind of aware of the fact that Macron is not any different to François Hollande. This is basically the continuation. And when you consider François Hollande's popularity is just, incredibly low, that you could have, you could be looking at a Le Pen victory. I'm not sure if Le Pen will actually leave the European Union or the euro if she does get into power. Well, the euro, I suppose, because if she doesn't do that, then she'd be completely discredited. But the European Union, for France to leave the European Union, it would be much more difficult because, first of all, it's, you know, it's a major member of the European
Union.
There is no European Union without France. Britain could, you know, because Britain was never really, a sanguine member of the European Union anyway. British identity was often in conflict with European identity. But for France to leave, I think it'd be very, you know, that would be the end of the European Union. So I think that if she's elected, she'll probably gain major concessions in renegotiating treaties with the European Union, and that may be enough. And of course, I think that if she did say to the Brussels, look, things are going to change right now. We're the big power. We're France. We're deciding that it's going back to national sovereignty, but we can stay in the club, as it were. Then Brussels would have no choice but to say, okay, we're going to have to go back in a lot of these treaties. But so I would see something like that happening more with Le Pen. But, you know,
Garrod, let's talk about her going to Russia and how that plays in France, because obviously, you know, we joke sometimes, and I think we joke because I think deep down we're all a bit tense and we're all a bit worried by the madness that we're hearing and seeing going on. You know, it's not enough to talk about it on programmes like this. I think privately we're uneasy about it, so we laugh. You know, we say that if somebody slips on a banana peel outside Sainsbury's, the Russians are going to be blamed for it. But there's nothing funny about that, because this is what we're seeing. So her going to see, her going to Moscow last week, how is that going to play out? Or how has that been reported? Particularly as you report, and of course we are tweeting out where people can read you, by the way, on your website. When Macron's team made an absolutely ludicrous claim, offering no evidence whatsoever that they were being hacked by the Russians. So Le Pen going over there, what does that mean for her, and how is that going down?
Well, there's a few things to say about Russia, because I was just reading an article the other day on one of the Le Monde blogs by one of the main one of the journalists in Le Monde, and he wrote an article basically about me. Attacking me as an agent of the Kremlin, a disinformation agent, as one of Putin's, Western trolls or whatever. And because of the video after the Bataclan attacks in 2015. And he made the point that, you know, the problem is that video was seen by millions of people. And that the French authorities authorized Russia Today to work in France to open their French news station weeks after that video circulated on the internet. And he was outraged because of this. He thought that it should not be allowed operate in France, that this kind of information is too dangerous, and so on. And what this shows is that the mainstream media, the establishment, are in crisis. We've seen that in the United States. And what you're going to see in the weeks ahead is all kinds of accusations, all kinds of conspiracy theories about the Kremlin's networks and Kremlin's agents in Europe disrupting French democracy and European democracy. So, of course, Le Pen, geopolitically, she is far more favorable to Russia. She would lift the sanctions against Russia. she would change the French politics in the Middle East. She's far more favorable to both Vladimir Putin and Bashar al-Assad. So she, this is the reason why they're very fearful about the more favorable coverage that she gets in the Russian in the Russian media. And of course, the if you look at the Sputnik France, RT France, are getting huge hits on the internet. So the mainstream media are no longer able to compete with this because they've been relying on massive amounts of money from private from billionaires in the past. But now, you know, news has gone from the kiosk to the computer screen. So people are getting, you know, they're getting their RT apps on their phone and they're getting updates from you know, they're watching YouTube rather than the television. So the game has changed and they cannot compete with that. That's why a lot of people today, including myself, are getting, you know, interview requests from the BBC. Certainly the BBC are interested in talking to us. You know, after years of you know, denouncing their lies, now they're, you know, they're basically ringing us up looking for interviews.
Of course,
because they cannot compete with news stations who are informing people about what's really happening in the world.
Can I just jump in there on that? First of all, I'm delighted you're back on, Garode. Love having you on, mate. I really do. And we're no sycophants here, not on this program. Garode is brilliant, folks. Follow him at garodeocolmon.org. And he's on Twitter. He's at Broadford Soviet. At Broadford Soviet on Twitter there. What if Le Pen turns out to be like Trump? And that many of these wonderful things that she is saying pre-election, you know, better relationship with Russia and, you know, moving away from interventionism and NATO and all of that. And then she becomes president. And like Trump, it all changes. Because that's a genuine possibility, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are, the thing about it is that if you look at it, if you actually just look at her program, I mean, I read there's 144 propositions in the National Front program. If you compare that to Jean-Luc Mélenchon, there's no real program in Mélenchon. If you go on his website, it's more about him. It's more about Mélenchon. So he's a typical egomaniacal Trotskyist with no class analysis and no real working class support. Le Pen does have genuine working class support. People who normally voted or voted in the past for the Communist Party, class conscious workers in the industrial regions of France that have really suffered under globalization, are voting for Le Pen. That's not to say that Le Pen is the real deal or that she's good, but she's tapping into that void that has been left by the Communist Party, the decline of the Communist Party, decline of left-wing ideology in France. And that is something that she's managed to manipulate and use to her advantage. She is different to Trump in many respects because of the specificity of French geopolitics. France is not the United States. It's neither culturally nor historically. It's a competing empire. You know, the French, France is a major global maritime empire and has its own geopolitical ambitions. And I think that is one major difference between Le Pen and Trump, is that she's, you know, she's quite anti-American. She's always saying, you know, we've got to stop taking orders from the Americans. So, you know, the only reason she likes Trump is that she's hoping that Trump will sort of leave France alone more, be less interventionist and so on. But, you know, if you look at her African policy, and nobody talks about this, she said repeatedly that she wants to end the colonial monetary system in Africa, which is basically what's called the Franc CFA. And anybody who has looked at the post-colonial French Africa and their plight knows that one of the big problems, one of the reasons why these countries are not developing, is because their finance is controlled directly by bankers in Paris. And she's the only candidate who has said that she wants to end that system. So again, I think one of the problems with the National Front and Marine Le Pen is that it's sort of identity politics. Ultimately, it is a white party. There is that sort of white, you know, white identity aspect to Front National. They do have some black and Arab and Maghreb and, you know, people who are in the party and rising in the party. They do have votes from the immigrant community in France, but it's not, it still is very much, you know, an identity politics. And that could turn very nasty, given the fact that you have a very large Muslim population, you have all these terrorist attacks happening. And if you don't, if we, you know, if people don't understand the origin of terrorism, the origin of false flag terrorism, the function and purpose of terrorism, and the real people behind it, then you will see, I think, a massive rise in Islamophobia. And that's something that I think is happening in the United States under Trump, and it's happening here under Le Pen, and that could turn very nasty. You can see in a lot of, you know, a lot of the even so-called alternative media who, you know, investigate, you know, false flag attacks and so on. You can see now how they're very systematically turning against Muslims, people like Paul Joseph Watson and so on, blaming Muslims for everything. And of course, he's interviewed by the Jews and, you know, has absolutely nothing to say, you know. So there's double standards in terms of analyzing terrorism. Terrorism really is Islamic terrorism in the form that we know it today was started by the Zionists. It was not started by working class Muslims. That's something you'll never hear from the so-called far right.
No, you're right. Can I interject there?
Understood.
Sorry, Garrod. You're absolutely 100% right. And we have hammered Watson, who's a buffoon anyway. I mean, listen, I don't say it for me, assign virtues to people just because they've had a third level education. I had a third level education and I know nothing. You know, I'm not that stupid. But guys like these are buffoons and it's driven by money. And they're idiots. There's no doubt about that. And these people, at least some of them anyway, used to talk about how false flag terrorism, as you so eloquently write about, it was used to change people's mentality and to change their perspective because of the need for an all-powerful, all-present enemy. It used to be Russia, now it's radical Islam. But say that to people that are, you know, living on the margins and they see their towns filling up with people whom they can't speak to because they speak a different language. Now, you and I know, Garrod, why that's happening. We know that migration is deliberately a result of these disgusting policies that we talk about. How do you communicate that to a man who's not stupid at all, but he doesn't have the ability to express himself or to ask questions, and he just sees these bastards are taking over our cities and I can't get an appointment, I can't get a house. How do you explain that to them?
The thing about it is, this is something that the left should have been doing for the last 30 years. In France, during the 1960s, the French Communist Party's position was very similar to the National Front's position. In fact, the traditional left-wing view of immigration was always critical because they always understood the class function of immigration. Mass immigration is promoted by economic elites to break up organized labor and resistance to capital, and it has always, that's the reason why they've been promoting multiculturalism in Europe, and so the working class in Europe, let's say the indigenous working class, and again that's a problematic term because what is indigenous? You could be in France for three generations, and there are many French people, black French people, who are French for many generations. But let's just say in sort of broad terms, indigenous workers, they have a right to be angry about what's going on. They obviously, you have parts of France where white people are minorities, and that there is actually anti-white racism going on in the playground. It's going on in these neighborhoods, people getting beaten up. So there is intercommunal racism right throughout France and Europe. So the people who can, you know, who don't, let's say, have a crisis of identity, who just say I'm French, I'm, you know, and that's it, and I don't feel anything else, they are looking at a huge immigrant community who don't feel French. And if you ask them, I mean, you talk to these guys, you ask, you know, average guy from the Maghreb or whatever, you know, he might be brought up in France, studying or working, but, you know, he'll almost invariably tell you he's, you know, from Algeria or from Morocco.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's really from. Now, the Irish know this. I mean, ask any American, you know, where are you from? And they'll say, well, I'm American, but, you know, I'm Irish-American or I'm Italian-American. You know, I mean, even after generations in the United States, the Irish there still have a sense of Irish identity. So this obviously is a major problem, and it creates major problems for the poor. And it's being, you know, it's being promoted by oligarchs like Soros, like Sutherland and all these people, because they want a working class that is not that is more racially conscious than class conscious. In other words, you bring in a foreign working class that is desperate for work, will work for a lot less, will not complain, and will be more racially conscious than class conscious, because they will probably experience some racism, you know, in their lives. They'll be suspicious of, you know, the still majority white population in France. They see an elite in France. The political elite are still predominantly white, so they see things racially, and that is exploited then by the official left-wing parties. In other words, the PS in France, they turn to that community as protectors. So what you see in the election here is Benoît Hamon, who's the PS candidate, he's basically saying now that all immigrants coming into France should be allowed to vote, even if they're not French citizens, right? So he's going to say, oh, I love all you foreigners, I love everyone, come all into France, get them in on the boats, and then vote for me. And so it's a mafia system, you know, it's a protection racket. I'll keep the skinheads away from you, this kind of thing. So it's being exploited on all sides. And I think what's lacking is that kind of dialectical analysis of it, you know, to see on the one hand, first of all, you can't just blame immigrants because it's not their fault.
No.
And secondly, you need to understand the class role of immigration. So you need, I think, to be critical of both. Obviously, you can't have this what is happening now, you know, in Europe is unprecedented and is going to lead to more and more conflict. And it's not good. It's not good for people already living in France, whatever race they are, nor is it good for the countries who've been destabilized and are losing massive amounts of their youth. I mean, if you look at countries like Eritrea, I've spoken to officials in the Eritrean government who said that, you know, they understand what's happening with this whole mass immigration thing. They don't want it any more than people in Europe want it. So there are agencies, there are US agencies who are involved in this trafficking. There's a massive trafficking operation happening right now all across Europe. So I think the fact that these far-right parties, if you can call them that, are talking about Soros, people like Orban in Hungary, the fact that they're pointing the finger at Soros and you know, the Sorosite world, is a good thing, because that is definitely one of the major problems in the world today. It seems to me that there's a civil war now going on between the ruling class. I call this the national bourgeoisie versus the Comprador bourgeoisie. The Comprador bourgeoisie is Soros and Sutherland and all these globalists who, you know, don't really care if the whole world just goes up in smoke. And the national bourgeoisie are more concerned about concrete investments, buying and selling products, you know. So it's like the people who destroyed Iraq just wanted to destroy Iraq, create civil war, chop it up into pieces, and then start, you know, shifting terrorists around the Middle East ever since then. The neocons, the Trump faction would prefer, you know, selling products to a growing economy. I'm just saying that people voted for Trump. I'm not saying that's Trump's position himself. It's hard to know what he thinks, if he thinks anything.
Yeah, he's surrounded by neocons now, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but it's kind of the Trump idea is that. It's more in terms of ideas. And it's similarly with Marine Le Pen. In the end of the day, like, we just don't know whether This, you know, obviously it's going to be a major shift if Le Pen wins, and it'd be definitely interesting to see just what will happen, because I really honestly don't know which would be better. I sometimes think maybe it would have been better if Hillary Clinton had won in the United States, because it would have sort of the whole thing would have petered out, and maybe it would have been real progressive forces would have emerged, you know, because she would have been such a disaster. But I don't know if in France, if they have a continuation like Macron, whether that's better right now or Le Pen. It would be definitely interesting to see how rapprochement with Russia would work with Le Pen, you know. But I think the big danger is that it could, in the context of the, you know, the phony war of clash of civilizations, the war on terrorism, the chances are that a major attack, you know, a major 9/11 type event could really turn nasty in terms of the immigrant community, on everyone basically under somebody with a kind of a mandate to be authoritarian like Le Pen.
That's but an amazing thing. Yeah. Sorry, Garrod, that's an amazing thing you're saying that, because as you're speaking, that's coming to mind. I mean, we look at London last week, we spoke briefly about it. I've always believed that, I know you might, I don't know what your opinion is on it, and I would respect it anyway, but I'm a subscriber to many of these events. They are definitely false flag attacks, but the players are real in terms of the guy alleged to have carried it out probably was involved, but we look at things like, you know, the bending of people's minds using powerful narcotics and inducements, and I think the guy involved last week, if indeed it was him, I think there's a good chance that he was groomed and that he was manipulated into doing it. But I'm thinking, as you're talking there, you know, not to be, because we don't do fear porn, you certainly don't do it, but you'd be kind of half expecting something in and around election time there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Well, I was informed actually by somebody who knows Le Pen and who's close to French intelligence. I was informed last year that there wouldn't be. No, he didn't tell me much more.
Right.
He said from his sources, and that he is very close to the top, he said that he didn't think there would be a major attack because it seems, and again, use my words carefully, it seems that the intelligence services here are very anti-National Front. That's what he told me anyway. And they think that, you know, a major escalation, a major terrorist attack before the elections would favour Marine Le Pen, because then she'd come out and say, look, told you so, you know, you're a complete waste of time, and people would panic and vote Le Pen. So there's so much deep politics around these terrorist attacks. And it's true that we haven't really seen anything major in France in recent months, other than, you know, minor incidents, you know, soldiers being attacked. There was the Louvre attack recently, but nothing very major, nothing that, you know, sort of attacks that keep the whole thing going, keep people sort of believing that we need soldiers on the street to protect us, but nothing spectacular, no Charlie Hebdo type attacks. So, it seems that the intelligence services here are very fearful of that nationalist faction. Another thing actually I should just say about that, about the deep state here, is that on Sunday there was a news story in Le Monde about Israeli espionage in France. And the Israelis had been recruiting double agents in the French intelligence services, and one of the intelligence services they recruited members from was spied on by another intelligence service, and that's how the story came out. You know, you don't hear much from the National Front, these so-called nationalists, about the fact that a major foreign power, which has huge influence in the world, is spying on their intelligence services, actually recruiting informers. You know, I mean, France is a nuclear power. It has massive interests all over the world. How can a foreign power like Israel you know, spy on France like that and not cause any major diplomatic scandal. I mean, you know, if this was any other country, embassies would be closed and diplomatic relations, there'd be a major crisis. So again, you know, the all this rhetoric about nationalism and so on doesn't seem to apply to Israel at all. And that's something you see with the National Front. Now, other people would say that these kind of nationalist parties are less Zionist, less amenable or less controllable, if you like, by the Zionists. And that may well be the case. I mean, culturally, they are a bit of a threat because of nationalism is something that the Zionists don't like. Non-Israeli nationalism. But, you know, again, you know, this is just a kind of an example of the intrigue that goes on in the deep state. And when these terrorist attacks happen, you often find, even in the mainstream media here, you know, reports about suspicious behavior by foreign embassies. One of the, I think it was in the Charlie Hebdo attack. Again, there was an unnamed foreign embassy behaving suspiciously before the attack. And I mean, everybody knows that's Israel, because if it's unnamed, it's Israel. You know, that's the embassy you can't name, because it was the Qataris or the Saudis. You probably hear about it. So these are things that could have a major impact on how things turn out in the next few months.
Gerard, it's going to be an amazing few weeks, I think. I hope there isn't some attack that kills loads of innocent people. But we'll obviously be watching it closely. I've got French in-laws and they've got very strong opinions about what's going on there. We'll be watching it. GerardoColmon.org, and it's at Broadford Soviet on Twitter. Do us a favour, Gerard, after the 23rd, come back and give us an update here. I know you're going to be busy and you'll be getting pulled in all directions, but we love having you on the programme. And thanks, mate, for doing it.
Any news or, you know, any new perspectives I have and stuff, I'll definitely keep you updated.
Do, mate. You're always welcome here. You don't have to be asked. Gerard, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank
again.
You, Richie.
Have a marvellous evening. The terrific Gerard O'Colman is in Paris, Irish journalist, blogger, political analyst, geopolitical analyst, top man. Read him and do follow him on Twitter as well, giving you a point of view that's rational, that's incredibly well briefed, and the sort of point of view you're not getting on BBC, Channel 4, Sky or CNN. Top man. It's exactly 9 minutes to the top of the hour. Very quick break. And back in a minute then with more for you.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic. They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2. Available now at premillionpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back then. That's nearly it for the programme today. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for putting up with the rant in the first hour. I didn't prepare anything. It came as a big surprise today. It didn't come as a surprise insofar as I've been saying for a while that it was coming down the line that YouTube are going to do this, because we have nowhere else to go, basically. But still, it was a bit of a shock to learn that every single video has been demonetized. Unofficially, which is very strange, they've removed all the ads without actually demonetizing. So our revenue for the last few days has been nothing, and will continue to be nothing from here on in until such time as they change it or do something about it. A number of people have sent money to PayPal during the course of this program, and I want to thank you all incredibly. I can't say enough about that. I'm not very good at doing it, but a huge thanks to those of you that did do it. I really appreciate that. I think we got about 250 quid during the programme, which is fantastic, and thank you so much for that. Look, we're looking at Patreon. We're looking at one or two other things. For the moment, it's paypal.me/Richie Allen. It's pinned to the top of the Facebook page, and it's only for those who can afford it. If you're listening to any programme, not just this one, and you listen regularly, and it is a totally independent programme that requires your support, if you can afford it and you're not donating, you need to ask yourself why. You really do, because 2 or 3 quid a month, you're not going to miss that. But whether it's this programme or some other programme that you like and that you appreciate, that £3 might be what puts them over the edge, what puts them from the red into the black. So consider that. You know, we're not doing this for the laugh. Way back in October, September 2014, I said there's an easier life for guys like me. Guys with ability. Guys with proven experience. We can go and work just about these days, because I've probably shut so many doors now. But we could be doing something much, much easier than this, and not doing this 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week. But there's a need for this, folks. There's a need for this. Not just us. It's not about me. But there is a need for programmes like this, speaking to people like Gerardo Colman and others who cannot say what it is they want to say and present their research on mainstream television and radio. And if we can do that professionally, really professionally, in a way that sounds polished, where people will listen to it, where ordinary men and women, our friends who normally think we're idiots, we're conspiracy theory lunatics, if they listen because it's funded and because it's polished and it sounds well, and they listen and go, Jesus, I didn't know that. I might look into that. There is a need for programmes like this. And there's not too many of us now that haven't swallowed the Kool-Aid and gone the way of Alex and the Chuckle Brothers at the Trump Nightly News Network. There's not too many now actually talking about things like the nature of reality, vaccines, medicine, Rothschild Zionism. Who else is doing it every night? Who else is doing it? If you can support programs, plural, like this, not just this, if you are in a position to do it, don't be a lazy bastard. Support. paypal.me/Richie Allen. I'm not going to mention again this week. Big show coming up tomorrow. Dana Durnford will join me tomorrow, And Alison Shablo will be on the programme for an exclusive, massive exclusive, that for us tomorrow. Alison Shablo joins the programme. I want to say a huge thanks to Simon Stewart and to Aaron Callan for their support. To you for listening. To my guest tonight, Hayden Hewitt, who jumped in at the last minute. Top man. And the terrific Garrod O'Culmon, who you just heard a few minutes ago. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. BST, come hell or high water. Until then, thanks for listening. Spread the word about the programme. Look after yourselves and one another. Bye for now. Leaving you with The Who and Won't Get Fooled Again.